All right, let's get into our sermon. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, we will be tackling two of Jesus' Beatitudes today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any strange quirks, strange behaviors that make people kind of look at you funny and make you, and they wonder, why are they doing that? Any strange quirks, strange behaviors, things that make you look a little different to everybody around you? Anybody want to share? What makes you weird?
I don't have any.
Adam has none. Yes, Evan.
My wife has a couple.
You and I both may be sleeping in the snow. Yeah, Evan, I'd back away from that if I were you quickly. You don't have to share. That's all right. I'll share mine with you. I really appreciated the song, He Keeps Me Singing, because I find myself singing a lot. And sometimes I forget where I'm at. Like, I can be walking through the grocery store, and I'll be singing a hymn. And so the last line in that song, He Keeps Me Singing As I Go, is very literal for me, because it seems everywhere I go, I'm singing. And sometimes that's even on my bus. When I'm driving the kids to school, I will be driving along and I'll be singing some church hymn, and the kids kind of look at me funny and are wondering what I'm doing. And what really makes them funny is not only do I sing on the bus, but I only sing when the bus is in reverse, because I'm a backup singer. Yeah, those little quirks. Yeah, dad jokes is my little quirks. I had you set up, too. It was perfect. And I apologize to Ann in the youth group who heard that joke on Wednesday night, and you had to sit through it again. So I have a strange quirk. Jesus opens the Sermon on the Mount with some strange upside-down blessings, all right? What we call the Beatitudes. And if we're honest, they don't make a lot of sense on the surface of things. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. We would think blessed are those who are nice and full, who are wearing their stretchy pants because they've overeaten. Blessed are those who feel as if their thirst has been quenched. Because blessed are the meek and blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They don't sound like winning. They sound like losing. And if Jesus were running a campaign, if Jesus was trying to start some grassroots movement, these would not be good slogans for him, because they're not what the world wants to hear. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the successful. He doesn't say, blessed are the strong, or blessed are the self-sufficient. Instead, he blesses the meek, the ones who don't take power by force. He blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the ones who will not settle for the way things are. Now, let's remember what the Beatitudes are. They're not just personality types. They're not just moral virtues. Jesus is describing what it looks like to live under the rule and reign of God. This is what a kingdom-shaped life looks like. And we know that because in Matthew chapter 4, before we even get into the Sermon on the Mount proper, Jesus is said to have been going around from place to place preaching or proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. And so when Paul says something like a passage we're very familiar with in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this what? To this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Right, Paul, what does that mean? Well, if you read the remainder of Romans chapter 12, it sounds very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, as if Paul is pulling directly from Jesus' sermon. And so if we want to know, what does it mean not to be conformed to this world? What does it mean to renew our minds? We can read Romans chapter 12 and see what Paul says, or we can read the Sermon on the Mount and listen to the words of Jesus. So let's sit with these two Beatitudes and wrestle with what they mean for us. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's tackle meekness first. And as we do, we need to clear something up right away. Meek does not mean weak. When you picture a meek person, what comes to your mind? You hear the word meek, you apply it to a person, what pops into your head? Huh? They get run over. Humble. Anybody else? What was that? Gentle. Good words. Obedience. The world probably hears meek, and they probably have more of an idea of what Mark says. It's a timid, passive person, easily pushed around. It's a doormat. You can just walk all over them. But I want you to understand that is not what Jesus meant. Jesus uses a word here that is often used to describe a war horse that has been trained for battle. So you go out and you capture a wild bronco, all right? And they are just full of power, all right? They've got muscles to spare. They've even got muscles in their earlobes, all right? They're capable of doing just about anything they want. But they have to be what we say broken, right? Before you can get on and ride, a wild bronco has to be broken. Think about that for a minute. A powerful, muscular animal, fully capable of charging into a fight, but restrained and under control. When you break a horse, all right, the horse doesn't lose its strength. It just becomes directed towards a purpose greater than itself. That's the word Jesus is using. He's not saying that the meek are weak. He's not saying that we ought to be weak. He says that we have great power, but we have to learn how to direct that power. It has to be power that is under the authority of God. That's biblical meekness. Strength under control. Power surrendered to God's authority. And so God is not saying, I want you to be weaklings. In fact, you're very powerful. Matter of fact, you have, according to Genesis chapter 1, dominion over my creation. But how you leverage that power matters. And if you leverage it for the purposes of God, for the kingdom of heaven, you will receive a promise. He says the meek will inherit the earth. That's wild to think about. We will inherit the earth. Now, Jesus is speaking to a people that are living under Roman rule. The Romans didn't inherit the earth, did they? They took it by conquest. They seized it. They crushed anyone in their way. That's how power worked in Jesus' day. That's how power works in our world today. But Jesus says, that's not how my kingdom works. The world says, take what is yours. Jesus says, trust that the kingdom is yours. The world says, crush your enemies. Jesus says, love your enemies. The world says, go out and get it. Jesus says, wait. And receive it. Because inheritance is received, it's not seized. And God is in charge of the giving. This is why Jesus himself is the perfect example of meekness. How much power, let me ask you, did Jesus have? How much power did Jesus have? All. All the power in the universe. Yet he never defended himself. He did not call down angels to destroy his enemies. Instead, he stretched out his arms and he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Meekness is not about weak. It's about being strong enough to trust that God will set things right. And that's what moves us to the next beatitude. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The word that Jesus uses for righteousness can be translated in a variety of different ways. Your translation, if you're reading one of the older translations, King James, New King James, ASV, it probably does say righteousness. Does anybody have a translation that's different than that? Anybody have a modern translation? More recent? I shouldn't say modern. More recent. Well, if you're reading maybe the Christian, I can't remember which ones. I looked it up and I forgot. Some of them may say justice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be filled. Jesus, I believe, is talking about people who ache for things to be made right, who look out at the world and say, this is not how it is supposed to be. And so the way I've always heard this preached and talked about, and the way I've always read it, is that righteousness is talking about personal morality. That this is talking about how I behave, how I am a good person. And if you grew up in the churches of Christ, how has righteousness typically been defined? What are the things that we're told if we want to live righteous lives, we have to, let's just talk about the things that we can't do. Nobody? Think back to your youth growing up, high school years. What are some things you told you couldn't do? Couldn't go to a dance. Anybody else? Couldn't listen to rock and roll. That's when my dad hit an album called Thick as a Brick from his dad because he wasn't allowed to listen to that. Anybody heard that? Nobody? Okay. Anybody else? Thick as a Brick. Mixed Bathing. I Hate Myself Music. Never heard that. Anybody else? Playing cards. After yesterday, our Euchre tournament, I was really tempted to change my sermon to the sin of playing cards. But I did not. I had friends that believed that very much, so they would not play cards. They played dominoes. Dominoes was somehow righteous, and cards were evil. We're not going to talk about where I finished in the tournament. All right? We're just not going to bring that up. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about longing for the world to reflect God's heart. See, hunger is a very powerful force. Have you ever been truly hungry? I mean truly hungry. We talk about being hungry today, and it's been 3 hours since we ate, and we're not really hungry. It's just the clock says it's time to eat. But have you ever been truly hungry? I mean body aching, stomach growling, I need food right now kind of hungry. And when you're that hungry, right, nothing else matters. You're not distracted, you're not passive, you're not just going to sit back and accept your hunger. You'll do whatever it takes to fill your stomach. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what it means to long for righteousness, to hunger and thirst for justice. But here's the challenge. Some people ignore their hunger. They look at the world's problems and shrug it off. Well, that's just the way things are. Some people try to fill their hunger with the wrong things, political power, success, control. Some people just give up entirely. They look at the world and say, look, it's just too far gone. Yes, things need to change, but it's too hard, and they just stop caring. But Jesus says, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Don't give up. Keep hungering, keep thirsting, because you will be filled. Now, to understand what Jesus means by righteousness, we need to look at two key Hebrew words that are translated righteousness in the Old Testament. The first one is zedekai, all right? Often translated as righteousness, but it really means living in a right relationship with God, a right relationship with others, and even a right relationship with ourselves. The other one is mishpat. Usually translated as justice, but it refers to actively working to set things right, especially for the vulnerable. And so again, Jesus' righteousness isn't about personal holiness. It's about relationships being healed and made whole. Jesus isn't just saying, blessed are those who want to be good people. He's saying, blessed are those who long for relationships to be made right on every level. Righteousness is about right relationships. Let's talk about relationships for a second. What relationships do you know that need to be set right? Think personally for a minute. Think personally. Maybe you've got brokenness in your family. Maybe it's a strained marriage, a friendship that fell apart. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive or someone you need to ask forgiveness from. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness means longing for that reconciliation, for those personal relationships to be made right. And then there's communal relationships. We live in a world of deep division and distrust. There are racial divides, political hostility, economic injustice. And when Jesus talks about righteousness, he's talking about longing for communities to be made whole. To hunger for righteousness is to refuse to accept a world where some people flourish and some people are crushed. That's not the way it's meant to be. Every human being is meant to flourish, to experience peace and prosperity. And then we can talk about our relationship with God. Because at the heart of all this is the reality that our world is not right with God. I'm not always right with God. And so I hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm longing for God's presence to fill everything, to restore what's been broken. And here's the good news. God is in the business of restoring what is broken. He says you will be filled. That's a promise. It's not you might be filled. Hopefully you'll be filled. You will be filled. God is on a mission to set things right. The kingdom is coming and it is already here. We long for it. We work for it. And if we do, we'll be satisfied. So what does all this mean? Well, meekness looks like trusting God's way instead of grasping for power. It means we don't have to fight, scheme, manipulate, or climb the ladder to get what we want. It does mean that we follow Jesus' way of humility, his way of service, his way of surrender. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness means refusing to accept the world as it is. It means we don't settle for injustice. We don't grow numb to suffering. We don't look away when things are broken. We keep longing. We keep working. We keep believing that God will make all things new. And when we live this way, when we walk in meekness and hunger and thirst for righteousness, we are already tasting the kingdom of God. It is breaking into our world. So, some of you this morning need to hear that meekness is not weakness. God does not expect you to be a doormat. You feel like you're losing because you're not playing the power games of the world. You're trying to trust God, but it feels like everyone else is winning. But Jesus sees you. He looks at you and he says, you will inherit the earth. So trust him. Some of us need to rekindle our hunger. Maybe we've grown numb. Maybe we've looked at the world's brokenness for so long that we've stopped believing anything can change. Jesus is inviting you to hunger again, to thirst again, because the kingdom is coming, and those who ache for it will be filled. These are promises. And we know that God cannot lie. He is faithful. He will fulfill his word. Let's pray. Father, we want to trust you more. We want to be people who don't grasp for power, but trust that you hold all things in your hands. Make us meek like Jesus, strong but surrendered, willing to serve rather than to seize. And Lord, stir our hunger again. Don't let us be satisfied with a world that is not yet as it should be. Give us hearts that ache for righteousness and hands that work for justice. Fill us with the hope of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.